Blog Talk Radio.
Round in the red sea.
也是软了，哎呀，阿拉哈呀那哇，哎呀，哈。什么也是完了，还有阿拉海那瓦，还有
Shalom, Shalom family, how are you?
Shalom. Shalom, sisters.
Welcome, welcome to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, GOCC's Monday night show, designed with you in mind. Those first two musical interludes were The Song of Moses, Exodus 15 in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hosting here tonight is Sister Shirley, and co-hosting is Sister Carol. Can you hear us, Sister Carol?
I can. Shalom, family.
Shalom. Okay, and I think I hear Sister Betty. Sister Betty, you out there? The round table. And Sister Jackie, I heard you singing the Shema. Sister Jackie, and I also believe I see.
That was me.
Okay. Lord have mercy. Okay. And I also see Sister Aura.
Shalom.
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 Here.
Shalom.
All right. It's raining and sunshine in here at the same time, back and forth. Not sure what that means.
A rainbow, Shirley.
I don't see one of them yet, but I guess I will. However, we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of the roundtable, to ask a question or to make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage or the church's webpage and click on blogtalkradio.com/GOCCChurch and look for the Daughters of Zion radio show. You can also reach out to us in a private email at restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. That's restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. Okay, so we are going to get started with our show. I'm excited to be here as usual. I still be in prayer for me. I still got this nagging cough. So I'm doing the best I can. My voice is about 2 octaves lower than it usually is, which I don't know, classifies me as half man, half animal. But nonetheless, I'm still here, and the Most High, I'm grateful for his presence, that he's still with us. Isn't that a marvelous thing? You know what I mean? So, okay, let's move on, and Carol, you want to open up prayer for us, and let's just go before.
Don't know what that is.
Mhm.
The noise. Did you hear that screechy noise? Sound like feedback.
Yes, I heard it.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to go on and pray in. But first, of course, I try my best to find something encouraging to read. And today I'm going to come out of 1 John, Little John, 1, in the second chapter. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso
keepeth,
yes, indeed. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of the Most High, perfect hereby, know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked.
Hmm.
Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eye.
Wow.
That's what I wanted to read tonight to start off with. I could have gone on and finished the chapter, but it's extensive, and we'll read that another time. But gracious eternal Father, we come to your throne of grace, Father, humbly and happily, Father, joyfully to come and talk with our Savior, to talk with our Father, that we may fellowship together. Father, we're asking you right now that you have mercy upon us, that you allow the words that come from all of the sisters that are on the phone, or anyone that calls in, to edify our people. As we call the show, Restoring the Daughters of Zion, only you can do that. No work that I can do, no work that any of the sisters on the phone can do. Only you can restore the Daughters of Zion.
Amen.
Please, we're asking you to restore us from this Babylonian culture that we've grown up to love and adore and hold on to as tight as we can, Father. We're asking you to help us to loosen these binds, because they do hold us from doing the work that you've given us, Father. We thank you and we praise you for this time. We honor your name, your magnificence, Father. We glorify the heavens. We glorify you. We ask you that you forgive our sins and any of the commandments that we've broken, that you forgive us for it, whether we know it or not, we're aware of it or not, Father. We're asking you to forgive our sins, to set us on the righteous path, to help us to go on in your name, we pray. In the name of Yeshua, Ahaya Bashem Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
What a wonderful prayer. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes, wonderful.
I wanted to say that, you know, we listen to the elders and they talk about us. Some of the things are good, some of the things are not so good, meaning the women. The other night, you know, sometimes when I'm bored, I turn on things on the TV to see what croakings of doom they have out there. And this woman, I mean, this show was called Matchmaking. And I was interested because we're interested in matchmaking in the church to a degree. Possibility of arranging some marriages, in particular for some of the shame-faced women that, you know, would never step to a man, you know, and some of the brothers that are even shy. So I said, let me take a look at this, and let me tell you something. All those crazy women, all those crazy women that the elders are talking about, they exist. I'm really glad they're not in the church, as far as I know. But I mean, the things that were coming out of those people's mouths and what they were desiring and what they were doing, you know, we had to turn it off, but it was like, what in, is this real, you know, or is this a game? So maybe these people do exist, these wild, strange women, you know, and I just was so grateful that it doesn't look like the church has that kind of problem, and I'm grateful for that. However, tonight we want to talk about, because we asked the some great questions in the service Saturday. And one of the questions they asked was if anybody was having problems, if anybody had problems with their mother or father, their parents, and a lot of hands went up. And it wasn't teenagers only. And I thought that was interesting. So we went into some testimonies about those things. And so tonight, I thought, let's talk a little bit about that in this way. If you could change one thing about your past, what would it be? And I don't want you to tell me about you would change, you know, you would walk with Christ sooner, because that's a given, I would hope. You know, because that's the only thing I'm not happy about, that I the only thing I'm unhappy about following Christ was that I didn't come sooner, you know. But nonetheless, we're going to talk about that. But before we get into the show, I think, Carol, you have something interesting to read, and then we'll get right down to it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I hope this doesn't seem like a distraction. However, I just ran across a simple article, and the reason I'm going to read it is a friend of mine was sneezing, and I did not say, God bless you. And she said, you know, almost like looked at me like I was some kind of a lowlife or something. And I said, what's the matter?
No etiquette. No etiquette.
She said, well, you know, I usually say, God bless you, if somebody sneezes, and I noticed that you never say that. And so I said to her, well, years ago, I had heard that people were saying, God bless you, because they thought you were casting out demons. And I know that's wrong when you sneeze. So I just avoided.
If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you would get, you know, penalized for saying that, because they truly embark on that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's probably where I heard it, because you followed them, and me, as trying to be as rebellious as possible to my husband when he found Christ, I ran off and said, well, I'll follow the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's nothing but hypocrites at the church. So, you know, and so I learned some of those things too, even though I was so unfaithful to everything that, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, who cares? I really did. I just was in rebellion, and that's it, to my husband. And I know that. But anyway, so I thought I'd find an article that kind of clarified what sneezing was, and I hope you guys can bear with me. It's a short article, and I just want to read this very quickly, because there was like a little study done on on that. So it says, have you ever wondered why people often say bless you when you sneeze? There are a couple of explanations. One ties to Pope Gregory the VI in the 6th century, who would bless those who sneeze so they wouldn't fall ill to the plague. There's another explanation that says the Greek word for sneeze is pneuma, like pneumonia, which means soul or spirit. The belief was that sneezing is a near-death experience and that a blessing will keep you alive. That also links to the belief that your heart stops when you sneeze. And many of us have heard that. So let's see what sneezing does. It says that sneezing protects the body, so you can relax. Your heart keeps beating throughout your sneeze. And whether that sneeze takes the form of a loud bellow or roar or even a tiny squeak, a sneeze is an important protection mechanism for the body. Lydia Borida, a mathematical physicist at MIT, helps to understand how a sneeze works. Her study of sneezing was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2016. First, a sneeze starts in your nerves when the lining of your nose gets irritated from a cold, pollen, dust, smoke, pepper, etc. Your body goes into reaction mode. Your sneeze center is triggered. It's located in the lower brainstem. The sneeze center sends out a signal to tightly close your throat, eyes, and mouth. Your chest muscles contract and compress your lungs while your throat muscles relax. All of that means air, saliva, and mucus is forced out of your nose and mouth. So a shoot, voila, a sneeze. It's a little gross, but also pretty amazing. Nothing to sneeze at, the facts about sneezing. Here are a few other sneezing notes. Sneezes are fast. A sneeze travels at 100 miles per hour and sends about 2,000 to 5,000 bacteria-filled droplets into the air. There you are.
Coach. Run.
Okay. Sneezes have this. Those droplets can reach a 5-foot radius. Now you can understand why your mom always said to cover your mouth and nose when you sneeze. A sneeze is a nose restart. Whatever irritated the nose to create the sneeze overwhelmed the nasal system. So much like shutting down a computer to restart the system, the sneeze resets the nasal environment. That's why it's common to sneeze several times in a row if the irritant hasn't cleared out. That's it.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. And I think where that part came from, that you were being blessed, is there's a scripture in the Bible that when someone, I think the demonic spirits were coming out, he sneezed 4 or 5 times or something like that. And then people ran to that. At least if I can remember, I can't remember where that scripture is.
Oh,
but
maybe we'll look that up for next time.
Yeah, it was something like that that started that superstition or whatever. But anyway, that was still good stuff to know. And now, so what?
Very good information. Yeah.
Yeah, I like information. Sister Jackie, you have a testimony that you want to give before we get started?
I do. Thank you so much. Shalom, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so lovely. I am in California right now.
Oh,
and I
wow.
love you so much that I decided to still come on the call, ladies.
What
I
a blessing.
One of
oh, wow. California.
I'm in California, so yeah. I've been I attended my Claremont. Actually, I'm close to Los Angeles now. So my daughter graduated this weekend.
Congratulations
to the Most High.
Yes,
so
congratulations.
My testimony that I wanted to share is centered around that. The Most High did such a fabulous work, and I want to share this. I believe it'll be a blessing to many of you. My daughter, as you know, my husband and I, our relationship has been beautifully restored, but my girls were not in agreement with that, and they did everything they could. But This particular daughter told me we wouldn't last for 2 weeks. So for about a year or so, she's been walking around, not even speaking to her dad. Like, if she saw him, she'd go the other way. We actually, she came home, was home all summer, and I can count the time she kind of said hi. And she would go, and she was in just like, the enemy had just such a stronghold on her, and I would pray, I have other people praying, and, you know, just talk to her and try to encourage her how important it is to, you know, forgive and forgive your dad. If it wasn't for your dad, you wouldn't be here. I know you think I love you so much, but without his seed, you truly would not be here. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, coming here, I let her know up front who was coming. She was excited about her dad coming. But she didn't say anything bad about it. Normally she'd go, oh, Mom, you know, or whatever. And so I said to her, Charity, I said, I need you to make sure you're going to be cordial and nice to everybody. So we got here. She has been, I mean, the Most High just really, really set that girl free. I mean, she greeted her father. She talked to him. And it wasn't this weekend for me. It was like a demonstration of the power of forgiveness and the power of love. As you know, I homeschooled my kids, and she was homeschooled most of her life. And so my other daughter is here. She reminded me, she said, Mom, you've always, the thing that I did was life skills. That's what I taught my kids, and character. And I would always teach them that character is a little thing that can get you through some big doors that even if you got all A's, you couldn't get through some of these doors. And I constantly, and so she reminded me of that. She's like, Mom, you've always taught us that. And so we're just like amazed at the love of God, that he that the breakthrough that my daughter has had. Like, she didn't have to ball up in a knot, because I would feel so bad for her. Like, she could not function around her dad. She was just like, she was so mad. She was holding on to whatever her madness was. I don't even know what it was. But the thing is, she broke through. And more than her graduating, what stands out for me is that she was able to take pictures with her dad. She wanted him to put his arms around her. And I'm just like, wow, Lord, I am just like really in awe. So I'm saying to the women of Zion tonight that, you know, you're going, if you may be finding your kids going through something similar to this, be encouraged and stay prayerful and keep speaking the word. And I just say the same, you know, love is greater than hate. And it just, had to go. That spirit had to go from her. It was a spirit. It had captivated her. She was in such bondage. It was like, she was just so miserable, and I would just feel so bad because I would have to look at it every day like, oh, my God, this is awful. And just the fact that she was able to talk to him, we ate together. She embraced him, and she went to him. He didn't go to her. She said, Daddy, to hear her say Daddy, you know, to hear her say, I love you, Daddy, and to hug him. It was just like, wow, what a blessing. So, ladies, be encouraged. And, there, you know, he wants to heal our young people, and the enemy is out to steal our seed, because that's the closest thing to our heart is our seed. But don't give up. Let's not give up. Let's press, and let's believe. And if he did that for my family, and he's still working on my family, I still have another prodigal daughter out there that I don't see. I don't see my grandkids. And it's a horrible, horrible feeling, but the Most High chose for me to go through this for a reason. So I just believe, you know, the Word of God is a two-edged sword, and it's something that he's teaching me through this, you know, not to just keep looking at the bad side of it, but the good side of it. Will I be prepared when she comes through this valley? I got to be on the other side. I got to be prepared to greet my prodigal daughter when she comes home, because she too is going to come out. The power of love is going to break down all this stuff, all this division, all of whatever witchcraft or whatever the enemy has put on my daughter and tried to put her under a spell or whatever, whatever it is, the Most High, his power is awesome. He's more powerful, you know, and he's sending his word to heal our families and restore. And so I've experienced such restoration in our family this weekend. I'm really encouraged, and I want the ladies to really be encouraged by what I'm sharing tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was really a real blessing. Thank you.
Yes. I want to say, you know, you were talking about how it was like demonic spirit that was on your daughter. Remember in Matthew 18 when it talks about the unjust servant, the one that wouldn't forgive the way Christ forgave him. And if you let me just read that real quick, it says Matthew 18. And I'll start at 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And I'm bringing this out, and we've brought it out before, but your daughter, before she came and forgave her daddy, it says, 34 says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. She's being tormented.
Yes,
and that's where we are when we hold hatred in our heart for anybody. We can't just walk around with that burden in us, because the Most High didn't build us that way. He built us to release that, turn it over to God, turn it over
let
to Christ.
It go,
vengeance is not ours. And I'm real. That story made me so happy about your daughter. I'm just like, I love it when I hear of children forgiving their parents, because you know something? When I think about my mother, I lost my mother in 2002, and I could cry right now. My heart is broken. I love that woman. I love my daddy. I lost him when I was 17. I never understood that. So anybody that has a mommy or a daddy, I don't care.
You are blessed.
You're going to have to, whatever happens, you're going to have to let go of that, because that's all you got. That's all you got.
That's right.
Let's continue.
That's right.
Say I digress.
I want to bring the scripture out. It's in Proverbs 13 and 12. And it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. You know, when our children come to know Christ, I tell you, that is so refreshing. It's so refreshing. Or when we see them let go of the bondage of this world that's holding them so tight, because it does.
Yes.
And I know of a situation where a sister had kids And because she, you know, was submissive to him and to care for him, even in his trouble, they despised her for it. Because people don't get it when you are really walking with the Most High God and you've got someone, a husband that's untoward, or he's a womanizer, or he's not doing what he's supposed to do. Everybody is like, man, please leave that. That's ridiculous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the children despised her and said, hey, I'm never putting up with that. I would never do that. But then when she got married, she ended up marrying the guy. Her husband ended up in the same condition as her father. He was on, drugs.
Yeah.
And he was a womanizer.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you despise what someone else is going through. The scripture says, watch what ye say, lest you be
ashamed.
And the opportunity to see what exactly it was your mother was going through, or your friend, or your aunt. And then you can have some mercy, you know. And shut your mouth. Because most of the time, we think, oh, man, I would have did this and I would have did that. Watch what you said. Because
you don't know what you would do.
When you're put in that situation, and if I know most of
you don't know.
Him, he will put you right there.
Yeah.
That he's
Come
the kind
on
of God that will punish his children until they turn around.
Come on, yes.
If they don't turn around, they'll end up in hell. So
come on.
You just got to figure that out. So I want to ask Sister Betty to start it out. Sister Betty, if there was something in your past that you could change that you think would have made a difference in your life right now, what would that be?
Well, you know, I never knew my father, my real father, but my mother married this wonderful man, the stepfather, and he told me, my brother and sister call him Papa, and he took us like we was his own, and he put food on the table, he disciplined me, he came up to the school when the school called, you know, he was there. He was just present in my life. I was told that there was two men that was my dad. I seen them when I was a child, but I didn't really have no kind of relationship, or I didn't know, really. But I do kind of wish that I could have known who planted the seed, you know.
And what, what do you think
if I had to change anything in my life?
What do you think that would have done for you?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it would make me feel connected, you know, to that, you know, to the source that brought me into this world, you know, that helped bring me into this world. I think about that sometimes. You know, there's a lot of things, a lot of little small things that I do regret, but it's just going through life, you know. It's not to mention, you know, just little small things that I just
now,
life.
You think that would have really made a difference in your life, knowing your real birth father? And you know, that's hard for me to relate to, because I knew my birth father, you know. Real father. So when people start saying things like, you know, when they didn't have their birth father or their birth mother, and I mean, I find in our church, Lord have mercy, there are so many families that have come up out of foster care that the children had no one at all. And now they have a family. I think one sister gave a huge testimony about that yesterday, that they had no family, and now they have this church family. And the funny thing is that sometimes we don't realize that this church family is so critical to some people because we have a family of our own, you know? And this little kid stood up and took the mic. And he asked, he says, I what I'd like to know is how can I change? How can I change? Because I never had a father to help me. I mean, the whole place was like trembling, you know, when that little boy got up and said that. And he was about 12 years old. He was saying how he's, you know, his life has been rough and he just keeps doing things and he doesn't know why he's doing them. And he wanted to know, how can I change, you know? And so, like, the brothers all, you know, reached out to him and they realized, hey, here's my phone number. Now we have to deal with this, you know. And I thought that was wonderful. And it's so sometimes us growing up, those of us that grew up with our birth parents, we're spoiled. You know, we don't know what you're talking about. And but there's a flip side to that, too, because there are people that grew up with their birth parents that had other little statements to say. And so my question is, if you could change something, would you switch parents? Would you switch, you know, people that you with? Something deep here. And you've already told us, Beth, that you really enjoyed your stepfather, and that was a wonderful thing because that's not always the case. You know.
Right.
He was a wonderful man.
That's a good thing. So let's go.
And I knew him early. So he came into my mother's life when I was 13.
Okay. Okay.
So, mostly I grew with him. And he was Papa, you know.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful experience for someone to come in and deal with a situation like that. I appreciate it because, you know, hey, it could have gone differently. It could have gone real different, you know.
Yes.
So, okay, Sister Aura, if there was one thing that you could change about your life, what would that be? Other than, you know, we know we should have come to Christ a lot earlier. And anybody out there, press 1, get into the host queue. We want to ask that question to you. What would you change, and why would you change that?
Well, I think it would probably be my demeanor, because with my children, I was like a drill sergeant, really. And I think I could have been a more loving mother, as opposed to, we need to get this done now, you know, make sure everything was done, as opposed to, you know, being more loving. It's a good thing I only had one girl. You know what I mean? But I think that would have been one of the things that I would have loved to have changed.
Okay.
Because I think it would have really made
that would have done? How do you think that would have made a difference? Do you think you would have had, because I sometimes hear about kids that were raised with, you know, you gave them everything and they had so much good time on their hands and what have you, and they turned out to be a bunch of entitled children, you know?
Well, it's not that I wasn't loving and giving, but I didn't really hug my children like most people do, and kind of thing. I just wasn't that kind of a lovey-dovey kind of person. And I wish, because I find it hard to kind of just reach out to somebody who seems to be, who might need a hug right now, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I think that it, even though I love my kids with all my heart, it just seems like I was not that mother that would coddle kids, you know what I mean? I always wanted to be like my mom, was such a sweet person. I wish I had, you know, like her personality.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you like that with your grandchildren? Do you
hug
them?
I do hug my.
I love my grandchildren. It's almost like I got that second chance to change everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how they say it is. That's how
it is.
I'm going to get to you guys in a minute,
but I have a couple of callers in the queue. Let's ask them. Area code 484, what would you do to change something in your past and why?
Shalom, sisters. This is Ariana from the DLCC Florida body.
Shalom.
It's good to hear you.
Shalom.
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 One thing that I wish I had was to be able to reconcile with my father before he passed. He passed when I was 18. We were estranged for a really long time, like from the time I was 12. And the night that he passed, I had a dream that someone was dying, and it shook me to my core. And I woke up screaming. And I was like, nobody's dying. And I kept on screaming. And my cousin was calling me, but it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, so I went back to sleep. And I woke up to a Facebook post letting me know that my father was gone.
If you had had
the opportunity to spend some time with him, what do you think that would have done for your life?
I think it would have been healing for me because my dad wasn't a bad person. I think that he was a really understanding person from what I remember. But his relationship with my mom was kind of bad, so that plays a big role in everything. And it hurts because, like, being married, my husband always asks about my father's side of the family. I'm just kind of like, I don't know. You know, like, he passed, and the way that I found out, it was just like, communication was terrible. So it would be healing for me. And one thing that I always wanted to tell my dad was just like, I'm sorry, you know, like, I'm sorry I never called you, that I never helped you, that I actually sat down and talked about what I didn't like. Because, like, when I did speak about things I didn't like, he listened, and he would say that he was sorry. So, yeah.
Well, you know, we were talking, the deacons were talking about exactly that in church on the Sabbath. And one brother did ask that question. He said, how can I show forgiveness and honor to my dad after he's gone? And I can't do anything about that. And he said, yeah, you can. And the way that you will honor him is to show him that you can learn from what he did wrong and do better. Do better than he did. He said, that's an honor to your father. Show him that you can make a better decision, make an upright decision, even though you went through what you went through, that will honor him. And of course, to speak well of him whenever you get a chance to. And I thought that was interesting, because sometimes when someone passes away, it can eat at you to the point that it causes you to stumble in a lot of ways, thinking you can't get that forgiveness because he's no longer here. But the Most High is the one that we have sinned against when we dishonor our parents, because it's his law and his rule. So we have to show the Most High that we are repentant about it, and that we now want to honor that piece of man or whatever it was that he gave us, that we can now just be grateful. And that's one of the things we want to talk about tonight, being grateful.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Show the Most High how grateful you are for the crumbs that fell from the table.
Thank you.
You're alive, sis. All right?
Yeah.
So don't bury yourself in the thought of the idea that you may have not done something right. You know, the scripture says we get that chance to, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us for all unrighteousness. So you know that the Most High, when you're sincere in your heart, that he has forgiven you, now you have to forgive yourself.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. Thank you for that, sister. I'm going to put you back in the host queue. We're going to put one more caller in, and then, Sister Carol, I'm going to ask you that question. Area code 228, you are on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, sisters. The one thing I would want to change in our past is the silence in the black family. The silent cry.
The silence
in the black families.
I think I know what you're talking about, but tell us what that is.
Yes, ma'am. All of the incest, the molestation.
Yeah.
The silent class, it taught everybody how to perfect silence.
So
I would change that. I would definitely change that because it has damaged a lot of us as a people, even in our family. It was from babies to adults and youth, from male to females, wouldn't have, you know, been able to, you know, had a experience in that, but the silence.
Yes, Sister Betty and I were talking about that earlier today. We were talking about that because the men, it seems like some of the men in the family picked up the ways of the slave master. Now, I don't know how it was with others, but it seems like they picked up the ways of the slave master and began to abuse the women, children in the family in the same manner. And I think it's interesting because here again, as far as in our family, that never touched our lives. You know? We'd run around the house in front of our brothers and sisters with panties on and not even be
like we didn't have any sense.
Like we, we didn't have any sense, but this is what we were doing. But nonetheless, I've heard of many children that were molested by a father, a stepfather in many cases, and the silence did, I think, made it continue because they were under the impression that nobody was ever going to tell.
And it got away with it.
Sister Betty said that the older parents, Betty, tell them what you said they would teach.
Oh, yeah, you know, you would hear them talk on these things, and that is something you don't tell. You take it to your grave. You know, it was not to be mentioned among, I mean, the adults, they kept those secrets because of the shame, you know. Some of them actually knew that their husband was like that, you know.
You know,
coming up in the sharecropping era, they knew that that was going on. You would hear those stories, you know. But a lot of times the families, like men, when they heard that somebody had done that to their child, they would take the man to the swamp, you know. A lot of the men, they dealt with that themselves, among themselves, when they saw when their daughter was abused. Some of the men that did it, they had to get out of town, come to the city, because they were being sought by the girl's parents. But then, nevertheless, there were still more cases that was so prevalent.
Yeah.
When I came to the city, I saw a lot of that in Brownsville, East New York. These men was off the hook back then.
Yeah, it's
so
kind of sad because.
What, Carol?
It's kind of sad because remember when we had the retreat at your house and almost every woman that was there had been molested. It was like,
what?
I was looking around the room saying, why did that didn't happen in my house? But almost every woman in that room was talking about how somebody molested them in their family.
Have you experienced this firsthand, or is this you're talking about for someone else, if you don't mind?
Oh, firsthand as well.
from generation to generation. I found out with my mom, you know, after she passed, that she had been molested, and sister, and then, you know, from some of my nieces and nephews. So, yeah, it's been a generation, and I've been the one that sound the alarm. And, yeah, it's like everybody's still in that spell of silence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
were you ridiculed once you said that? I mean, did anybody take your side, or how did they handle that?
Wanted me to hush and, you know, push it up under the rug because I wanted, you know, like justice. Like they, you know, need to be, you know, to pay for those things. And, yeah, so.
And, you know, they act like, oh, no, you can't say anything. That was 15, 20
boys
years ago. You have to forgive them and all of that kind of stuff.
But, no, but the thing is, it went on from generation and still going, you know, a few years ago, still going on and affected even a younger generation. And they, you know, went down to pass on to that spirit to the next person. So I'm very guarded when it comes down to my children, because I
see,
you know, the generation. So,
I was going to ask you if you had children or were married, and if that you think that assaulted you, how you got over it.
It took me. I've been married. I've married now for almost 22 years. I have 4 babies, And yes, it took a long time for me to talk about it. Maybe within my 12th or 13th year of marriage, I finally was able to express that. But it affected me mentally. Yeah, it did. But I healed from that. I've healed and learned from it to, you know, how to make sure my babies don't get exposed and all that type of thing. But it's been a battle that, you know, it's sad that our family's still stuck in that, you know, silence mode, or it happened a long time ago. We don't need to bring stuff back up. But if it's still affecting our children today and it's changed them and their behavior, then it needs to be talked about and addressed. But, you know, I'm the bad one when it comes down to that. So it's heartbreaking.
Wow. But at least that taught you how to protect your children.
Yeah,
you may do some overprotecting, and in my head that's just too bad. They'll be okay. They'll get over that because in this world right now, we cannot afford to allow those things to happen to our children. One of the questions they asked in service was by a show of hands. How many men had been molested by an older woman? And it was like too many. It was too many. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
It was ridiculous. So there are things that are happening in our lives that are causing problems for all of us, you know, that it just keeps having this domino effect. But, you know, I want to go back to, and thank you for that, sister, unless you want to say something else.
No, ma'am. Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you for your transparency.
Exactly. And so I think that, you know, when we have these kind of problems that come into our lives, we're carrying them into our relationships. And it can become very traumatic for everyone. And sometimes if we don't, I think the transparency of it, the confession of it, helps us to get it out so that it's, number one, we know that we're not the only one that dealt with it. And I don't know why misery loves company, but it just somehow makes you feel that you're not as crazy as you almost think you are when you're dealing with yourself by yourself. You know? And so the other part of that is that maybe you can move on now. You know, and you know the Most High is a mind regulator. He heals our heart and lets us know sometimes he allows these things to happen to us. Whatever it takes for us to come to him is what's going to happen. And he calls us when we are the call, we are the chosen, look out. He's going to call you. You're going in. And that's all it is. So, Sister Carol, what would you say you would change about your life if you could?
Okay, and before I go there, I want to just say to the sister and to all of us that all of us are going through various things.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have been through various things. And it's to make the body of the Most High stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because my husband said one day to the congregation that your testimony is unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's one of your greatest witnessing tools. Because you'll meet people in the world who are struggling with the very thing that you went through. And nobody can tell your story like you. And so your pain, your suffering may pull another brother or sister out of a dark place and show them the light of Christ because of what you went through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beautiful thing about this whole, what we go through. Because I know I have friends who, one girl I know of, she said that her daughter wouldn't speak to her because she knew her father was molesting her, but she didn't come in and help her. She'd hear her moaning. And my friend said, I didn't know what he was doing. He'd always get up when she would make a sound and I'll go take care of her. But then I'd hear her crying and I never went in the room to see what was going on. And, you know, I just, it baffled me a bit because if your baby is, most women get up and say, let me help out here.
Yeah.
You hear the little girl moaning and calling for her, but she wouldn't go in there. And she ended up with a very strange life, you know, going down that gay path and what have you. And very angry with her mother. Very, very angry with her mother, where they don't really speak anymore. Mm-hmm. But I wish and I hope, I would love it if we had a ministry in the churches where people like that could go and talk to others and share in that pain and how they got over, how they made it through. Because that's very important. Because, see, since I've never been molested, I don't have an answer for that. You know, so my testimony wouldn't help them, really. The only thing my testimony would do is just to show them that the Most High is in the healing business. But it's really good when you have context that you can go there and share, because you're coming from a very different vantage point. All right. In reference to what would I change? What were you going to say something, or?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. In reference to what I would change in my life, besides the fact that listening to my mom and my dad more, this is a result. This is like a symptom of not listening to your mom. I'd have been much more submissive to my husband. I didn't know that a woman was supposed to be submissive. I, in the sense of he's the head, until I came to GOCC, and I'm being very honest. When I was in the First Day Church, women were preaching. Women were partners. They talked about you're an equal partner. There's no... What is it? There's no difference between male and female with Christ. And I felt like I had just as much say-so in that house as my husband did.
Mm-hmm.
I ran before him in things, and I regretted it. But I didn't understand that he is my headship. As a matter of fact, his mom used to say things to me when I was really young about me listening and being more domesticated as far as being a follower for my husband. And I would say, this is the 20th century, what you talking about? That's for women that were, you know, the old days, maybe when you were young. But nowadays, we women, we got our own careers. We've got our own bank accounts. Doing our own thing here, you know. I can bring home the bacon right up in the pan. You
yeah,
know, that
never,
whole
never
thing.
Let him forget.
That's right, because I was a woman, you know. And I, not only that, I had my own cigarettes, Virginia Slims. Even though I didn't smoke Virginia Slims, but you know the commercials, what I'm talking about. We had our own cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And so I was truly, truly a daughter of Babylon, even though I knew Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, I listened to Elder Ricard on Sabbath because our church, we were not able to meet. Because, you know, we all share churches, and that church had something going on that, you know, they needed the sanctuary. So we acquiesced and had our message online. And then after we got off the line, I went and I listened to Elder Ricard. Then I went back because I missed the beginning, and I listened to the beginning. And he was talking about pastors leaving the First Day Church. And he said to the pastors, what you should be doing is remembering this. Christ hasn't let you down. The Bible didn't let you down. It's just that you were learning doctrine and you were teaching it to your congregations, and now you found out that your doctrine has failed. That it's not true, that it's lies. And so you're walking away from God, but you should just be walking away from that doctrine, not the Bible, because the Bible is true. So what I'm trying to say is I was following doctrine, and if you know what I'm saying, it was, listen, or with the pastor's wife was the assistant pastor. Why should you not be running around in there like, hey, give me a collar. I'm doing something too. And I knew many women who were pastors, if you know, and they had husbands. And I don't know how that worked. When you got home, who was in charge? You or him? And so it was a very strange life. But I look back that, first of all, my mama didn't teach me that. She didn't teach me that she was running ahead of her father, of my dad, rather. She always would listen. What did daddy say? No, no, no. You know, because we come in there begging. I remember we got in trouble one day, and I came in there to beg not to get a whooping. Mommy, help. Please help. She said, I can't help you. You know, your daddy just said what he's going to do, and he's going to do it. And I was very upset with my mother because I knew she had the power to say, honey, you know, spam this time. But she didn't. I got my little bond torn up. And so I did understand from her behavior and their relationship that he was in charge. But I apologized to my husband. I really did, guys. I really fell on my knees one day and I said, and it was funny because I was in there having an argument with him, and all of a sudden I realized something. Said, Carol, you've been disobedient to your husband. And I dropped to my knees, and I asked him to forgive me. And I said, you know, I've been a hard-headed woman for a long time, and I'm going to stop. I'm going to learn how to behave. And I'm just saying that that's something I would have changed. I would change it if I would have understood the commandments of the Most High. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that's what I had to learn, and I'm serious. I'd have done that. And, of course, I'd have listened to my mother and my father. And we'd have gone through several of the things I went through. But I'll say one thing to you guys. No regrets. The reason that you can't regret is I would not have had these wonderful grandchildren that I have if I wouldn't have done certain things. And I don't need to go into that, but some of the moves that we made, some of the places we ended up was because of my hard-headedness. But if I never would have gone there, I would never have met these sweet little babies that I have. And I'll yield.
Blessing. So, yeah. There's so many things that And some of the things that we think, if we changed, some of those things were the path the Most High had to take us through. You know?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Get to where we are mm-hmm. right now. In order to us to find salvation that the Most High has for us, the things that, you know, most of the things that we wish we could have changed are things that caused us to suffer. And some of those sufferings we needed
that
in order
yeah.
to make those make us perfect. In order to
yeah. mold and shape.
I mean,
yeah.
if you ask me if I should have, you know, like should I have married my first husband? That's a big one. But the thing is that what did it do for me? It did give me 5 wonderful children that I want to beat the crap out of all the time. And then it also gave me the relationship that I had with Christ, because I was under such bondage that I couldn't have made it without Christ. And so that punishment, that hard life that I had brought me to my knees. And so that's the question. With the things that you might have wanted to change, what did it do for you? And what would have been the result if you hadn't had it? It's like Carol, you said, those little grandchildren wouldn't be here. And we really don't know 100% if that's the way God would have allowed it to come through, because, you know, he's got, the Most High has ways of doing things. But I do know that some of those trials that our Hebrew brothers and sisters had to go through, they had to go through it.
Right.
When Solomon talked about all the mess he went through, in the end, what did he say? The conclusion of the matter. What is the conclusion of the matter? To love the Most High and to keep his commandments. Well, this is the whole thing of man. And would he have known that? Would he have said that if he hadn't gone through all of that crazy stuff he went through?
That's right.
I heard,
yeah.
I have to bring it out. I heard Samuel, he said, you know, with this thing with the cheating women, he said, look at Solomon. Look at all the women he had. Look at David. It's just don't even think for 5 minutes that a man is not going to cheat. That's what he's supposed to do. But that's not necessarily what he's supposed to do. He went through that hard trial and that hard battle to get him where he needed to be in Christ. You know, had to go there, you know. So at Bathsheba, Solomon would have never been born if she hadn't have come through there.
You know, the thing is, for men, when they say things like that, they don't realize that they're saying women should cheat too, because if you're cheating, you're cheating with a woman.
Yes.
So
exactly.
that's on both sides of our heads, you know.
Yeah, and then
so,
we talked about that.
It's
that
only if it's a life experience.
If you're cheating, who are you cheating with? Is it okay if I cheat with your wife? Is it okay?
Okay.
Or your daughter?
Your nice little 13-year-old daughter, or your 16-year-old daughter who's never been with anybody? Is it okay if I cheat with them? You know, and so, yeah, we want to change those things in the past, but I truly believe that if we had changed the things, that the Most High would have worked it out anyhow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If our heart had been in the right place, but because our hearts were not in the right place, this is why we had to go through those hard times. We had to go. Because we would not do what we were supposed to do. And so,
you know, I like to say that when I look back on my life, I think I know exactly why the Most High did. He molded and shaped me in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to leave home. You know, I left home at 18. I left the house of Christians. But they were also into Eastern Star and the Masons. And the Most High, I see that now. I see it as plain as day. It's to, he wanted me to look to the east. So when I went out there to the world, I got hold of African culture, and which brought me into Hebrew Israelites. And at a certain age, I was, 16 when I met a girl. We became good friends. We danced in the same dance group. She was an Israelite, and she taught me about Israel, being, you know, I was Israel, and she took me to some of the Sabbath classes, and I learned from some of the brothers. But then later on, I left that, and I just didn't go to church, no kind of church, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if I had stayed home, and I look at my mother and my sister and how they all turned out, and they're all dead now, and they left here at a... My sister died at 62. My mom died at 74. My father died. My papa left here at 68. My brother at 60.
Mm.
Those are young ages.
Yes.
And when I see this, I look at them and I say, I would have turned out the same way. If I had stayed, if I had not left, if I had not gone through my journey, gone and did some things, which I believe the Most High was molding and shaping me. For knowledge, for wisdom, to come back to him. And when I went back to the Christian church, he brought me back to the words, the instructions, which allowed me to hear Elder Rakah. These are in my later years. So, yeah, he molds and he shapes us. You know,
yeah.
And all the time I was being molded and shaped out there, I was coming back to see my family. I built a relationship with them, but I looked at them as they were different from me. Yet I loved them. I came from them. But what I had inside me, they didn't know. They didn't know who I was, who I had become, and what I know. They didn't know what I know.
So the listening audience, you can press 1, get into the host queue, and tell us what you think you would change if you had an opportunity. Just press 1, get into the host queue, and join the conversation. In the meantime, Sister Jackie, can you tell us what the Most High has, what you would change in your life if you had the opportunity?
I think what I would change, I was thinking about it, I would change being an introvert. Believe it or not, growing up, I was very introverted. I was shy. And I think I would change it because I could have built, reached out more to my father. My mom and dad had 13 kids, 2 sets of twins, and I'm in the middle. So it was hard to get a word in. I think that had a lot to do with me becoming introverted because even now, I think I'm the quietest one in my family. I got some loud people in my family, but it's because I was in the middle. And
man,
I was introverted,
you know,
and I became an extrovert. Seriously, it's you look at me now, I'm not introverted now. It's the work of Christ. But my mom, the testimony that my siblings had when my mom passed is that all of us felt like the only child when it came to her because she was so loving. She had so much love. My father was a hardworking man, but he was an alcoholic. When he would drink and we were embarrassed, but he didn't drink all the time. But when he did, he made up for it. And so my father wasn't the type that would like reach out to you and say, I love you. And if I could change something, I would change the fact that if I was more extroverted, I could have reached out to him and got those hugs in anyway. I could have reached out to him and said, Daddy, I love you. Instead, I was in silence. And I only remember my dad telling me he loved me one time, and I was actually really sick at that time when I was about 19. And I remember sitting on him, and he said, I love you. And that brought healing to me. It just healed me.
Wow.
You know, him holding me and telling me that he loved me, because on a day-to-day basis, you just didn't get that from him. He was just, he was a disciplinary, and he brought the bacon home. He provided for us and things like that. But when it, you know, a girl needs a dad to say, you know, I love you, and just, you know, a dad can leave a fingerprint that a mom can't leave on a daughter, you know. And so I had some insecurities, you know, growing up because of that. I didn't have that. I mean, I had that relationship with my brothers. They always, you know, but it's still, they're not my dad. So I think I would change being an introvert, being younger. I'm not, I've been delivered from that, though, as you can see. And I have a tendency to break through now. I don't allow stuff to just keep me waiting on the other individual. I'll go past that. I'll be the aggressor if necessary.
All right, sister, I'm going to bring in area code 502. Thank you for that, Sister Jackie. Area code 502, you're all the daughters of Zion, and anyone that wants to join in with the round table, press 1, get into the host queue. Go ahead, 502.
Shalom, mother. How y'all doing tonight?
Shalom.
I have to say, I've been sitting here thinking and listening to everything that has been said, and I have to take it all the way back from when I was a little girl going to Sunday school, and the children used to laugh at me because I wasn't as well versed in the Bible as they were when it came to our age group. So I would hide in the hallway and then in the bathroom and wait for the cinnamon bun lady to come with the cinnamon bun and milk, and I would use my money that my mother gave me for tithes to buy that. So I remember not wanting to go back because I felt ashamed that I didn't know what they knew. So you fast forward that I had my children, started having children when I was young, and I always felt like I didn't want to disappoint my mother either anymore. And I always wanted to feel like if somebody said she couldn't do it, like a lot of people tell my mother, oh, your daughter's going to end up on welfare. She's not going to do nothing. She's not going to do this, that, and that. So I had this chip on my shoulder like, oh, I'm going to show them, you know. And when I got into, I was going to go to college under a scholarship, but I got kicked out because I was pregnant. And the guy, my counselor, he was a Edomite, I'm going to say. And he looked at me and he told me, you know, the best thing for you is to go to the special pregnancy school. We have those here. And, you know, like the other mothers, the other teenage pregnancy mothers, you know, and you all can just be in the same school together because you're bringing our school down. And I felt so low. Like, I didn't tell my mom what he said to me, and I felt so low. And long story short, I ended up graduating a year earlier than I should have because I was just determined, but it made me aggressive, very aggressive. Because I felt like the world was against me for so long that chip was it stayed there for so long, and it was just that chip that made that just where I would like, you know, if somebody told me I couldn't, I was like, oh, I'm gonna show you that I can, even at the detriment of whatever, because I just was trying to show people, you tell me I can't, I'm gonna do it, even if I couldn't, for real. And it made me very aggressive. And that's one thing about me I wish I could change, because being aggressive doesn't always work either. It doesn't.
That's true.
Because I was a strict mother as well. I heard mother talk about being a strict mother, not really lovey-dovey. I had all fun. So I felt that was good to be strict and militant, because I was. But then when I met my husband and he had daughters, and we blended our family, it was like, he even told me, he was like, hey, you kind of militant. I lost it, and now that I have grandchildren and our children are older, when I remember him looking at me, he was like, hey, what? I'm going to need you to pull out some of that militant stuff that you, and I'm like, you wanted me to drop it. So I did lose that part of me, because I was very militant, but my mother was too, you know, and it wasn't until she started having grandchildren and great-grandchildren that she became the lovey-dovey pushover, that's what we called her, and now they say that I'm the pushover. I don't see it, but they say that I am with the grandchildren, but
I think that's protocol. I think that's the protocol because I've been accused of all kinds of things like that too. In that I know I was really fortunate. I had five kids to raise, and it was, you know, it was just me. Even though my husband was there, I was mother, father, all of that at one time, and I had to keep those kids in order. And the thing about it is that when the grandkids came in, my kids were saying to me, wait, what is this? Mommy, since when are you dealing with that? You know? They're going to be all right. Because I don't know. I think the stress of the children not being my full responsibility may be what the difference is. But I can show all that lovey-dovey stuff to my grandkids and be all of that, or either I've learned something. I don't know what it is. But if I had the opportunity, I'm wondering if I would go back and make that change, because there were things that my mother did when we were growing up, and I said, okay, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do this. And my plan didn't work out, okay? It didn't work any better than my mother's plan had worked out. And I put all kinds of energy and all kind of drive into it, and yet I still had children that went a different path. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even though we think, okay, I can make this change, I can switch that off, I'm going to change this. Sometimes people just have to go down that road. When my oldest daughter came home pregnant, she had no boyfriend. She was not allowed to hang out and chill. Well, it's like, how could this happen?
Right.
We had devotion every morning in my house.
Come on.
I prayed at the door when those children would leave and when they would come back in. And they knew to do all those things. They knew all the Christian language. They knew how to do all those steps. And it looked good. But then all of a sudden, this breach came in. I sat in a corner for 3 days asking God, why? What happened? What happened here?
What happened?
Not understanding it, you know, so it's like sometimes you were the drill sergeant. Sometimes you were the lovey-dovey. Sometimes
planted that seed.
Yes, it's like sometimes when I even look at the fact that Moses' mom put him in a basket and sent him down the water, the river. Well, you know, some of the kids, they would be like, yeah, you didn't have to push me down there. You know, you could have took better care of me. You could have come with me, you know, or how did she bring herself to do it? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like sometimes we look back at situations and we swear if we could have just done something different. The only thing we can ever say and be steadfast about it and know that we could have made a better decision is when we stepped outside of the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we stepped outside of God's will, that's where we messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I mean, like, so even if you say, well, you know, I was a drill sergeant, I'm not sure that's not what you had to be. You know? I'm not sure which direction should have been gone. Because like I said, when I was dealing with my mom, I don't know what that noise is. I'm going to mute you for a minute and see if that helps. Yeah. When I stepped outside of my comfort zone and decided, no, my mother, I never feel like anything my mother did and my father did was bad. I felt like they did everything they could with what they had. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And never felt like I was lacking anything because my mother and father didn't care about me. And there was 9 of us. Who had time to care about anybody? You know, the fact that they had a roof over our head, They had food in our mouths and negotiable clothing. You know, I think that if somebody was to give that to me right now, I think my troubles would be over. Can you imagine if you all of a sudden didn't have to worry about paying the rent in your home, that you had a house, that you had food,
absolutely,
and you had shelter? Some of the young people that are growing up today, they want to change their parents because they feel like their parents are not giving them what they need. They need that. Nobody's talking to me. Nobody's, you know, spending time with me. I want to know, did your parents really spend that kind of time with you as a child? When I grew up with my kid, and it's the truth, when I grew up with my children, quality time was, okay, let's clean up.
Yep.
You know, everybody learned how to do some work around here. Let's go, everybody, let's go. Open clothes and sweeping, and let's clean the whole block up because the place is dirty and all that kind of nonsense. That was quality time, as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, nowadays, when people stand around and they feel like, you know, something has been missing from their lives, that didn't get what they needed to get, and they want to make a change. I want to know why. I want to know, where's the grateful heart for the things that your parents gave you, because they didn't have to give you anything.
Amen.
They could have left you like so many other children. Hang on.
Right.
We got a caller. We got a caller. Area code 228. You're in the zone. Area code 228. Hello?
Shalom.
If I could change one thing about my parents, I would change for like communication with my parents. Like, it's just the lack of communication. Like, for us, like, you know, I agree with the sister that said, for us, they don't owe us anything, but for us, like, how to be a woman, how to be, you know, submissive, how to put my dad, you know. He was there, you know, but for us, like, what men to stay away from and things of that nature. But I do understand that parents only teach us what they've been taught and what they've learned. And now, in my 30s, I have two children, you know, and I have never been married. So it's not your fault, but I just think that communication, it plays a big factor in our lives, especially Israelites.
I wonder if you had that communication, would that really have made a difference? Because sometimes we think that if somebody would have just told me, and then I can look back at things where somebody did just tell me and I did what I wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it sounds like, you know, a cliche, a nice cliche. I didn't know any difference. And it's almost like, you know, and I think the reason we're saying that is honest, you know, this hindsight is 2020, we think. But all the variables change when you change something. And so, like, I know my mother told me she didn't want me with that man. I know she told me that. And my father. Told me that. I heard her loud and clear, but she didn't know anything, you know? So, you know, that's
exactly. It's our attitudes. It's the attitudes that we have towards our parents. They tell us, but we're not listening. Because I know sometimes, like, when I conversate with my prodigal daughter that's not in my life right now, she'll, like, out of the blue, why didn't you tell me this? Or why didn't you tell me that? Like, she's been so deprived all her life. No, you have went out and you decided to do all these things and you decided to allow someone else to speak into your life. So we have to take responsibility for the choices that we made and not blame our parents for where we end up at, because he gives us it. He gives us the power to choose life or death.
Amen.
So we can choose life, we can choose right or wrong. The Most High gives us that power. He gives us that freedom to do that. And a lot of times
we make the wrong choices and we got to find somebody else to blame. And in most cases, we'll blame
our
parents. It's
going to be the mama.
And you go to a psychiatrist and they'll tell you that's what the problem is. It was your mother and father. They led you down this path. And I know you were lacking here, but this is what you can do. You can tell them, I don't appreciate how you raised me. Just give them that straight. You know, once you can let them know that, it'll free you up. It's like, are you kidding me? You know?
No, it's not.
The psychiatrist is out of their mind, and that's one of the reasons why Christians always, black Christians would always say, don't go there, because they're going to send you down the wrong hole.
Yeah.
You coming back making a fool of yourself. I remember this guy that was on my job, he was quote-unquote gay, and he'd been going to see a psychiatrist. And he claimed that the psychiatrist told him, you have to let people know. You got to set yourself free. Well, he walked in the building and was running around walking up to people he didn't even know. Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm gay. And I just wanted you to know that. That's what the psychiatrist, he said, told him to go and do. And he walked up to, I think, the wrong person, because a few weeks later, he wasn't employed anymore. That didn't work out so well, did it?
Wow.
But, you know, think about the word psychiatry. Remember, it's the study of the mind, right? But years ago, before, it was called the study of the soul. So we see what they're doing.
It's actually witchcraft.
That's right. And they're always teaching us that, you know, you hate your parents and your parents did this to you. And if only these people would have been better than you, you would be a better person.
Exactly.
And all this does is create the blame thing. And I don't see how that is so encouraging or so beneficial for a person.
In a toxic environment, you need to come out from among them and be separate. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I love that word, toxic. I want to go
before I bring someone else in there. A couple more callers in the queue. Area code 22. You need to say anything else?
No, ma'am.
All right. Okay. Put you back in.
Just 1 second, Cheryl, before you bring another person. I'd like to take a microphone, you know, like Man on the Street, and go to some of these war-torn cities and ask them about, are you angry with your parents? What did you do? Because you've grown up. They're out there dealing with real problems.
Exactly.
We are so spoiled in this country that we sit around and think about our problems like they're so unique and what have you. Get over it. We've got to get over some of this stuff because there's a lot of work to do.
And
some of these things we're going to have to, how they say, put on our big girl pants and just get moving.
That's it.
Right.
That's right.
Area code 704, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. I don't know what that is. Area code 704.
Shalom, sisters. Sister
Shalom.
Carol, Sister Shirley. Okay, so
like,
I'm listening to all this, Sister Carol. Yes, and Sister Carol, you know, I've shared something. What'd you say? What'd you say,
Sister Shirley? It's Sister Shirley.
Yes, it is, sis. And I want to know. Okay, so I'm not so sure what I want to say or how I want to say it, but you know I shared my story with you, right?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I say this to say, to especially I'm listening to all the different things that you guys are saying, and if you could change this, I would change how my dad treated us as his children. And that I'm going to say because he had 5 children, and each one of us knew him as a different dad. And that's a really, to me, and when you try to talk to one of your siblings about him, then they don't even understand. They can't even identify with you because that's not how they were treated. You know what I'm saying? So, but I also think like this, the sister that I was talking about, you know, how we have incest in our family and all other stuff like that, I do believe it's a demon, okay, and that it's what you call like a generational curse or whatever that comes through your family. I don't know if my dad dealt with, but I also know that he didn't deal with me as a daughter. I would have liked to have had a father that I felt like would protect me. You know, when you're a child, you go through post-traumatic stress and you bury it in a certain way. And the way that you get away from it, you know, you do and you try. And I can't say I don't forgive my father today because I took care of my father. I was holding his hand till his last dying breath. I was never disrespectful to him. I had two siblings that were younger than me that would curse my dad, and he treated them, like I said, different. They would curse him, and I mean really cuss at him because daddy cussed at them. I was like, you can't talk to him like that. You know what I'm saying? Because when I was young in the church, I went with my aunt to a church, and I knew that was one of the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and mother, though my father wasn't the father I wanted him to be. Because of him, I had low self-esteem and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, besides the point of what I dealt with, still, I had a sister who actually went to her grave. They both died before they were 50. She was my half-sister, but she was being abused by her mother. My dad did not do anything about it. My brother, who tried to please his father, he was his oldest son. He sent him to mechanic school, and he would even say that he would never let his own son work on his vehicle. He would take it to a white man first. Okay, so, you know, when you're trying to live up to what you think your parent wants you to, but they're always downing you. My brother died with a broken heart trying to please my father. That broke my heart because my brother was a good guy. He really was. But, you know, when you see a dad that's doing different things, and there was only one child that he treated, she could talk to him anyway, she could do anything, it was nothing that she could do bad. And the reason being is my mother and father, they were a big age difference. My mother was 14 when she married my dad. Mm. He was 28. Okay, so when she got married as a teenager, and I know that these are things that were also, you know, it was recognized in that day that they could do, you know, get married at a certain age. But to me, that gap there made a big difference, okay, in the way he was. And I don't know what he went through as a child, but I had to understand that more when I came to the truth that I don't know what he dealt with, why he was, how he was, you know what I'm saying? But I wish I could have had a conversation with him about why he did the things he did before he died, you know what I'm saying? So that might have given me a way to understand him better. And I also thought that this, okay, I keep hearing, don't say anything about your parents unless you can say something good, just don't disrespect them, all this stuff like that. But then what is it if a parent disrespects you as a child? You know what I'm saying? And then you're supposed to get over that because you don't have anybody to talk to about it. And when you do talk to somebody, they don't hear you. They don't hear you. They don't want to hear you. They don't want to address it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I just want you to know, Sister Sherling, we hear you. We hear you. Absolutely, we do. We definitely hear you tonight. And I hate interrupting you, but I just want to share something real quickly. And this is something my oldest daughter said to me, kind of like what you said. She said, Mommy was a different mommy to me. She was different to Papa, and she was different to the youngest one. And she said the reason she's a psychiatry major, by the way. She said the reason for it is Mommy was different. I was very young when I had my daughter, my oldest daughter, and I raised her with the knowledge that I had then. And, you know, if your parents are going through something at a certain time, the children get the brunt end of whatever that is. So that could be why your sisters and brothers had different experiences, because it was a different time in that person's life. Right. So that parent could have been extremely, you know, we can go from one end of the spectrum, especially if maybe something tragic happened to the mommy or the daddy and they changed. And I really don't know the dynamics, but I'm just want to try to make you understand that it's not always that the person just, let's say, liked someone more. It's just that maybe they came to understand something. For example, when I was raising my oldest daughter, she got spanked for every little thing she did because I thought that's what she was supposed to do. Then here comes my son, and I realized I shouldn't be doing that. And he started getting away with murder that he was punching me. And, he was scratching my arms all up to the doctor when I had him. I had him there, and the doctor looked at my arms, and he said, what's going on here? I said, my son, you know. He said, what?
My sister
said to me, because she was, like, trying to walk my son across the street, and he was just fighting her, like, no, you don't. And she said, look at him, you got to get a hold of this. This boy is just going to run over you if you don't stop this. And then with my youngest, I would try this, now, daughter. And my other sister would say, now, you just, this is ridiculous. This child needs a butt whoop. But I'm just saying, I was going through different times in my life trying to adjust, trying to learn how to raise these kids. And I look at those children and I say to myself, I don't know how they came up because I didn't know what I was doing. So I just want you, I'm telling you this because I don't know what your dad went through. I don't know what made him different, but I do know that some of the problems in life change us and make us into new people.
Uh-huh.
As we go through.
Mm-hmm. And sister, let me say this to you, that whatever your dad was going through, sometimes parents, as the scripture would say, even if you may not see it that way, the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. So there are differences between the children also. Just like sometimes you might spend more time. I got in trouble with one of my children because they felt like, yeah, you're going to all her basketball games and you didn't go to mine and you didn't. You know what? She was in trouble at that time. She was failing. She was falling apart. And so I went where the trouble was to try and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's what parents do, but children see it as different. Just like when the prodigal son, oldest son, saw him running out after this bum that came back and spent all his money in riotous living. The parents are doing their best in the mind that they're in, and sometimes the other children get hurt by what they receive from what we're doing. They can only see it from a child's vantage point. They can't see it from that 10K view that the parents are looking at. And so regardless, what we have to do is just be very forgiving of them because we don't know what made them do what they did or what was in their heart. And so if we carry it, that's what drags us down to trash level. That prevents us from rising. So it's not like no one hears your cry because a lot of times we suffer and don't get things and are ignored because the other child is a bigger fool than we are, and the parent is dealing more so with that child. If we can just figure out how to, and I don't want to be funny with this, but how to be grateful for whatever the Most High gives us, because ultimately God is in charge and he's doling out what you need. And if and when you feel like you needed more, be careful with that, because Adam and Eve felt like they needed more, and they had everything they needed, but they were so busy reaching for other things that they did not realize what they were losing. And not saying that you were wrong in any way specific, because
it
does hurt.
No, if it was about material things or anything like that, I would say, it's not even, it's deeper than that, okay? It's definitely much deeper than that. Anything like that. Like I said, my dad was a provider. He did provide for us in material things. It had nothing to do with
him being there or paying attention, the attention he gave me, I didn't need, is what I'm saying, okay? So without really putting it out there, okay? So those are the things I'm talking about that children go through that you can't talk about, you know?
But what we can honor is that you're saying that if you had the opportunity to change that, you would have changed it.
Yes,
exactly.
That would have helped
right,
you
exactly.
I want to.
But also,
in this,
I have to understand that even though I feel I've forgiven him, because when I came into the truth, I understood that and all of that and writing about it and all that, I really do believe I forgave him. But then you're still having dreams sometimes that, I mean, I had a disturbing dream last week. Like, I wasn't going to leave the house until I made sure he was no longer breathing. Do you know what I'm saying? So, you have things that deal with, you don't get over it. It's still there. That post-traumatic stress is still there, you know?
Yeah,
so it's not something that you can just get over, but you can forgive that person for it, because I don't know what he went through. You know what I'm saying?
And we pray, Sister Sherilyn, we pray that the Father can give you peace. Honestly, we do. Oh, Sister Shirley.
And I feel like, you know what? I feel bad because I'm like 68 years old. I'm still suffering through these things, and you shouldn't have to.
Let me tell you a story. Shirley, can you please pray, and then I'll tell them the story.
Yes, let's have a word of prayer with you, Sister, because you know what? You suffered long and hard. You know, and we need the Most High to heal you, you know, and help
you, Father,
release that. So, Father God, in the name of your Savior, Yeshua Christ, Lord, we come before you right now, thanking you for your loving kindness, for your tender mercies that are renewed every morning.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we bring Sister Charlene before you, asking you that you will wash her, Lord. That you will help to remove the burdens from our heart.
Yes.
Help to remove those burdens, Lord. Let those burdens be your way of keeping her close to you, Lord. We ask that you would remove them. And
yes,
Father,
we do, Father.
We ask that you will just help her to see that in this world we will have tribulation. And that this is a wicked place. It's a wicked place without you, Lord. And when you are not, when we're not walking with our hand in your hand, there's no limit to what we'll do. And Sister Charlene has experienced some of that, Father. And we're asking you, as a child of Yeshua, as a converted one, as one that has been baptized, Lord, we're asking you that you cleanse her mind, Lord, that she might be able to just rest in you. Rest in you, oh God, that we ask that you take that thorn in her flesh out. If it would be your will, that you would remove that thorn in her flesh. And Father God, we will be so grateful to give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. And Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord. We don't want to be like Job's counselors, Lord. We want to bring whatever we can. So herewith we bring the word. And the word says, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Yes.
And Father, we're asking you that you would do that cleansing, Father. Bless us, Father, as we continue in your word, in Yeshua's name, amen.
Yes, Father.
We're going to have to hurry up because we're at the top of the hour. Go ahead.
Is it going to end at 9 o'clock again?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Okay. Sister Charlene, I just want to, and everyone else, remember that many of the things that we're going through it because of the sins of our forefathers
when
they walked away from the commandments of God. And let me just tell you something. There was a woman that wanted to take a look at the farmer's grape yard, and she noticed that he hadn't planted his grapes in this beautiful, fertile land, but she saw that he had planted them up in the rocky area, the hard ground. And I just want to read this to you really quickly. It says, so while rich families took all of the plush, fertilized land close to the rivers and streams, that winemakers were left with the hills, the chalky mountains, and the barren land where nothing was ever expected to grow. But boy, oh boy, did the wine grapes do just that. You see, if you plant vines next to a river or a stream in nutritious soil, they develop what is called lazy grape syndrome. They soak up all the water to grow their leaves and shoots to look the part. And although the grapes look plump, juicy, and delicious, the real truth is they're just oversaturated with water. Have you ever opened a bottle of wine and it feels watered down? You're getting too much aroma or taste. Well, that's probably because the grapes were too spoiled. So why does poor soil create some of the best wine? Instead of putting their focus into vibrant leaves and shoots, they push their roots deep into the ground in search for more nutrients and water. So I wanted to say that because, and the last bit says they do that, the rest of their energy goes straight into the grape. The reason I'm saying that is I think that's kind of like the children of Israel. God has put us into hard land.
Yes.
Rocky, barren, to make us sweet. And Charlene, it couldn't have made a better person than you are. You are a very sweet person. Mm-hmm. And maybe that hard ground has caused you to have so much compassion. She leads a group in the church called Operation Comfort. And Operation Comfort creates items for the homeless people. And when they go out on the road to witness, she takes her product, which are beds that they give to the homeless to sleep on. They're waterproof and they're handmade by the church. We make them. And I'm serious. Sister Charlene is doing a great work, and it's because you grew up in that hard land. You know what other people are suffering with. You can feel their pain, and you're here as God's missionary.
Amen.
To help them out more. So, Sister Charlene, you know, you suffered for the word of God. You suffered for Christ. And
that's
we
right.
All have gone through something. Some of us more, some of us less. But he knows what you can bear. And he knows it. And he's going to bring you out. But first of all, you got to let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to say.
Tawada.
Are you from there, sister?
Tawada, sister.
Yeah, Tawada.
Bless you, sister.
I appreciate it.
Bless you. Bless you. All right. I'm going to put you back in the host too. I tell you, there's so much that we have to deal with on that level.
Yeah.
And I am just so grateful to the Most High that, you know, he let us talk. Because sometimes we just get it out. Get it out. And people that are hurting with things that we don't always understand. And like she said, you're hearing, but you're not hearing. And sometimes we're not hearing because we really don't feel what you feel, but Christ does.
That's right.
He said he is not like someone who hasn't been touched
with the feelings of our infirmities.
There you go, with our infirmities.
Yeah.
So we know that we can go to Christ and cry out before him and let him know that we're hurting. And I'm sure that she has done that, but sometimes we have to go more.
We have to stay there.
Cry before his throne until he gives us relief. Because
he
will give us relief if it's no more just peace in our heart. That peace that passes understanding will come.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of God we serve. He's
we
a
do.
Friend to us. He is
yes.
definitely a friend. So I don't know, the thing says we're off the air. So I don't know if there's anybody listening or not. Somebody press 1, get into the host queue, just to let me know whether we're still on the air, because it gave me something that said 90 seconds. Okay, hang on. Let's see here. We've got a few people still coming in. Okay, so everybody that pressed that 1 to get into the host queue, are you asking to talk?
I have a scripture, Sister Shirley.
Okay, go ahead. Hold
on. I
have a scripture. I'm putting someone in. And just give me a second. Area code 646. Can you hear us?
Shalom, sisters. This is Sister Diane.
Okay.
Shalom. That last call, that's just pulled on my heart. But I just want to tell that sister, be encouraged. And
being
you know, the accuser, he's going to keep accusing you.
Yes.
You know, in these last days, because we
yes.
can. And I
yes.
just want to tell her, sister, I just want to give her a hug. And
amen.
I just want to tell her, it is done. It is done. It is done. Christ got you. And
amen.
I just want to say,
amen.
Habakkuk 3:19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make
yes,
my feet like hind feet. And he will
amen.
Make me to walk upon my high places, to
mm-hmm.
chief okay. single on my string instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, sisters. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for that, sister. Thank you so much. For that.
Thank you so
all
much.
Praises.
Thank you. All praises.
Yeah.
I wanted to add one more thing, Cheryl.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
for Sister Marlene, the song that says, "There's not a friend like the lowly Yeshua. No, not
mm-hmm.
one. No, not one.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
No one can heal our soul's diseases, no, not one. Yeshua knows all about our trouble.
Yes, yes,
he
yes, yes.
He will guide us till the day is done. There's
wow.
not a friend like the Lord. No, not one. No, not one. Amen.
Amen.
I
want
okay. okay. I have one.
Go ahead, Kate.
I had a scripture I wanted to. Okay.
Hold on, Sister Jackie. Or are you saying?
No, I was saying that sometimes, you know, we fall into these things, you know, these tribulations, so that when we are comforted, we know how to comfort someone else. You know?
That's right.
Yes.
Like 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be the Most High, even the Father of our Lord Yeshua Christ, the Father
mm-hmm.
of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforteth
mm-hmm.
us in all our tribulations, that we may
mm-hmm.
be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the
mm-hmm.
comfort we ourselves are comforted of the Most High." So sometimes, you know, just like the young lady who got on here, and someone else heard this. She may not know it,
mm-hmm.
but it's that person's heart. So sometimes
amen.
We have to go through some stuff so we can comfort someone else, because
oh,
we don't need to comfort someone else unless we've been through that. And just like Carol said, you know, you got to go through something in order to witness to somebody else, because you've never been. It's like we always had parents. It's hard for us to understand people who didn't know their first father, because
right.
we all had ours. So the Most High has us there in those rough places for a reason. For we
mm-hmm.
are
yeah.
his hands and his feet, and we are to reach out. He said, if you did it to one of these, you did it to him. So just think about how we are. We're doing something for Christ. We're doing something for him. We're comforting someone else. You know,
mm-hmm.
just
amen.
Absolutely.
Amen and amen. All right. So go ahead, Sister Jackie.
And 1 John 4:18, it says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love. It casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So it's just so important for us to just keep loving on Christ, because he's our only way out, and he can comfort us in a way that no one else can. I've been through a whole lot in my life, and
And, you know, that's why I'm so excited about Christ, the body, the kingdom to come, because, you know, he's always been there for me. He's always brought me through just so many trials and so many tests. And so he gives us what we need every time, you know, every time. There's no failure in Christ, none whatsoever.
None.
But, you know, it's like that sister was saying, there are things that we haven't been through, incest, things of that nature, fatherless.
Mm-hmm.
It's things that some of us have never been through. So it is hard for us to relate.
Yes.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and cut it out. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
Not that simple. For people that have actually gone through, and things are all relative too. One thing I find is that Christ is the answer, and that if you cry out to Christ, you cry out to the Most High, and just stay on your knees until you get relief. He will give you relief.
He will do it.
Drugs. He has taken people out of homosexuality. He has taken people out of some of the worst problems, things that some of us don't know and that we will never know. And if not, if we have to hear your cry, Christ has to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
He has to hear your cry.
Amen.
Cry out to him, and he will give you the salvation that you need. But on the flip side of that, if that thorn in the flesh is what's going to keep you walking with him, trust me, he's going to keep you there.
Yes.
He's going to keep you there too. And none of us know what you need to stay in Christ. None of us.
None of us.
Go to him.
Sometimes
go to him.
We ourselves don't even know what we
need. Exactly.
We have to
go to Christ with everything we have and lay it before him and let him know your sorrow. Let him know
his burdens are light.
Other people, which is what I'm saying, no one appears. Let Christ hear and see what he do. He said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So we've got
to
learn how to put that burden at the feet of Christ. Because guess what? Even though we went through incest, we grew up without a father, Christ went through more than that.
That's right.
He said, you have not repented unto blood. Where blood and water is coming out from our sin, we have not cried out. Cry out to him. Call upon him.
Pour your heart out.
And then I guarantee you, you will find peace. You will find you will find
above all things.
Even if it's somebody that just lost a husband, somebody that lost a child, somebody that, you know, can't seem to,
somebody that's
lost their house. It's all relative. You could be in such turmoil. I remember reading when Adam and Eve got put out of the garden, they cried themselves to death. Because they just were in so much anguish. But now we have an intercessor that we can go to.
That's right.
Amen. And that intercessor, he hears us. Let's cry out, Father God, in the name of your Savior, Lord, help us to know. Help us to know who to go to. Help us to know who to care for us, Lord. Help us to know that you are that very present help in the time of trouble.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. We just want to cry out with our voice,
oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Have mercy on us. Not reaching out to
you
like we did. And reach out to everybody else, Father. We reach out to you right now, oh God. We come to you right now asking you for help. Asking you to have mercy on us, Father. Asking you to abundantly pardon us, Father.
Yes, Lord. We
come to you.
Thank you.
Thanking you, Lord. Thanking you. I know when I was in the situation with my first husband, I was so miserable. I wanted to die. I didn't want to live because I felt like life was too hard. And it, every day was a burden. Every day. And then there was the time when I had that depression. And I would be sorry I woke up. Sorry. Because the heaviness that was upon me. And then I just had to cry out to God. I had to cry out.
Telling you.
Leave that crying.
Hear,
oh Lord.
Hear your servant.
I heard
you.
And guess what? I'm here because.
Hear your servant.
Amen. He said, because he lived, I can face tomorrow.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Let's that's face right. tomorrow. We can, yes. we can make it, guys. Mm-hmm. We can make it. We cannot change the things of our past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
true.
No.
We cannot change
throw
it.
Them in the river.
But what we can do
cannot.
Is change our future.
Reaching forth.
Reaching our future.
That's the Paul said.
Yes, Lord.
Looking not behind, mm-hmm. right. Looking not back, but pressing
yeah.
forward towards the mark. Amen.
Right.
No
yes.
weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Yes, yes.
None. And every tongue that riseth up right. against us shall be condemned.
That's
we are
right.
the heritage
right.
of Christ. Yes, we are.
Right.
A royal
and you know,
generation.
They meant it for evil, but the Most High meant it for good. You know, we have
right.
that
amen.
Mindset.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, if
yeah.
you think about some of our young brothers in the hidden in the prison houses right now that are being molested
My
on
God.
A daily basis.
Many of them in there on some charges. On fake
yeah.
charges because that's where they want
mm-hmm.
us at.
Yeah.
They want
yeah.
us in prison. But when the Most High comes,
yeah.
he's going to set all the
yeah.
wrongs right.
Set the captives free.
Exactly.
Yes.
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 And David
set
said, yea, though
free.
I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because that's
yes.
what it is. The shadow. It's
yes.
what,
yes.
what,
we're not
what,
standing
what,
in it. We're not
what,
standing wallowing, whining in it. We're moving through the valley.
There you go.
Amen.
Going through the valley.
Though I walk. Though I walk.
Yeah.
Keep
Amen.
Moving. Keep moving. Keep
we
on
going
asking.
Through the valley. We got to
yes.
keep bidding. For,
keep
yes. crying out.
In the word.
Keep doing the commandments. Yeah.
He said, my rod and thy staff. Stay with that word.
Stay comfortable.
Stay
yeah.
with that word.
That's
yes.
right.
Steadfast and unmovable.
I hope, Sister Shirlene, you're still on this phone, because when those thoughts come to you, rebuke them.
Yes,
when
absolutely.
When you have that dream,
put
up and tell the Most High that it was only.
Replace
uh-huh.
it with
the
uh-huh. word.
Yes.
Rest
Amen.
In the Most High. Trust in him with all your heart and lean not into
yes.
your own understanding. And in every way, acknowledge him and believe that he hears you. He knows.
Yes.
He knows your name. He
yes.
knows where you are.
Yes,
he knows your
yes.
entire situation. He knows all
yes.
about it. And
yes,
he
right.
cares.
And can you
he
imagine
he cares.
Can you imagine the pain and suffering that some of these homosexuals are going through? That they violated, and that stuff keeps bubbling up in them like a bad,
mm-hmm.
bad volcano
mm-hmm.
keeps bubbling up. And so you really got to just cry out to God and rebuke
yes,
all of it. Rebuke it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have this same type of anguish just because a man left you. You can
yes.
keep seeing his face. You can keep seeing how it was when he was with you. You can keep feeling what he did to you while he was there. But you know what?
That's
he
right.
He's going to lay all that down
Amen.
At the feet of Yeshaya and
That's
rise
right.
up and be free. And you're not going to get any relief until you stay
until
there long.
You. That's right. That's right.
Stay there.
And remember the scripture says, weeping may endure for a night. That's right.
Joy
comes in the morning.
Joy comes
yes.
in the morning.
The joy of the Lord
yes.
is our
yes.
strength.
Yes.
All
yes.
things. It don't matter what we've been through or what we're going
That's
through
right.
currently. all things will work together for the good of them that love the Lord and those
Amen.
That are called according to his purpose. So it's all working out for our good.
It is. It's all working out. It don't feel like it, but it is.
The devil is accusing and bringing up to memory things that you needed to forget.
That's right.
Because Most High throws a lot of stuff in the sea of forgetfulness.
That's right. That's right.
God, don't let him. Don't let him destroy you.
That's right. He said the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and if he can stumble you and keep you from doing the will of God, that's his purpose and his
strength. That's right.
And when that, then I remember when I was dating this guy who was no good for me. And the Most High took him out of my life. And I wanted that man back. I wanted him back. And Most High said, no, you're not getting him because you don't know how to handle something like that. And I tell you, I had to learn how to compartmentalize my thoughts. That whenever my went to that man, I had to shake it loose and say, I'm not going there. I'm not going to think about that, because that's where sin comes in, dwelling on the same thought. And that's why sometimes you don't want people to keep talking about what happened. You don't want people to keep on going in it, because it keeps reinforcing it and reinforcing it. Let that thought go.
Let it go.
It's not part of my life anymore. Christ,
always replace scripture, because it's going to keep coming back if you don't have some, you know, because
Throw it in the river.
I said, where sin abounds, grace more abounds. So we always know that where there's a lot of sin, grace is much more abounding. And we've got to hold on to.
Yes. And believe that word.
Yeah.
We gotta learn how to believe,
and we have to teach our brains to believe, because whatever you see in your heart, that's what you're teaching your heart. That's what you're teaching your brain. So you need to teach your brain the Most High's words, so that you walk that walk that He wants you to walk. Otherwise, you're not going to.
And to remember that all of the apostles or disciples were killed for their belief.
Except John.
As Shirley said, we haven't suffered unto blood.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're not trying to minimize what you went through. But sister, don't let this torment you forever. Because your father is gone. And the only thing you can do is try to say, you know, Most High will explain these things. And my mom, like I told you, my mom told me to learn those old hymns and things, because they'll bring you comfort in the time of need, along with the scriptures. But sometimes the scripture says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Amen.
Lift up your voice to God, right?
Yeah.
So there's another song that says, we are often tossed and driven on this restless sea of time, somber skies and howling tempest, all succeeds of bright sunshine. In the land of perfect day, when the mist has rolled away, we will understand it better by and by when the morning comes. All the saints of Ahia will be gathering on.
And don't you find that, and I'm sorry, Carol, go ahead and finish that.
That's okay. That's okay, Cheryl. You know, I want to
throw out there that, you know, sometimes When we can't understand something as women always got to have to understand. That's why, you know, like if a man comes in there and they've done us wrong, as long as they can come in and tell enough lies, you know, tell us, yeah, you know, I made a mistake, and I'm never going to do that again. And all right, honey, you know, as long as we can end that loop from keep on looping around where we can understand it, now we can keep moving. But the problem is that with the things of the Lord, it says the hidden things belong to the Lord. Sometimes we will not understand it, and that's where we have to practice the art of letting it go. Learn, like you said, train. I think Sarah said it. Train our brain to stop looping and just say, okay, it's okay. I don't have to understand this. Move on. And let it, because this is our Father that we're crying to. It's our Father that allowed this to happen. And if he did it, that's where our argument lies. It lies with him. Right. I don't think I want to play with you. I think that I'm asking you just to give me peace. That's all I can do is give me peace. And that's the most, and I will give you peace.
He will give you that peace.
Yeah.
In the midst of the storm, he's not going to necessarily change your circumstance, but
he'll be with you in the storm.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, remember Paul said that thorn in the flesh. Mm-hmm. But the Most High said, my grace is sufficient.
My grace.
He refused to remove it.
That's right.
But
you know,
I let him understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Step in, but the Most High said, no. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we have to just keep on remembering that Father knows best. And
move it on.
Wait to hear our answer. Yeah, I'm telling you, because we can play that pity party for so long. We got to get up, and just like
that's
David
right.
said, you know, I can't keep on, when the Most High says that's enough, get up, wash your face, and remember that the Most High will give you that peace after you done cried and cried and cried.
Yeah. So that's
all.
Just because we're going through things, it doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong. Sometimes it's just that, you know, this is what the Most High has chosen for us to go through. So why not us? He counted us worthy to go through whatever we're going through.
Amen.
Well, you know, the thing is that this earth, we're finding out that this earth is cursed. And then people, when they're following Christ, they're in a lot of trouble. There's no restraint. When they're not following the commandments, they throw off all restraint. We're like the animals at that point. So you can't even understand why a man would do that to his child. But that's what it is. They're brutish.
Sometimes they're being tormented, demon possessed, whatever.
Right.
We don't know what's going on.
We don't. And you know, the scripture tells us another thing. It's going to get worse than it is right now. It's going to get worse. The white man has raped us when we were in slavery, just like it was an everyday thing, and we had to get over that.
Yeah.
Well, our foreparents had to get over all that stuff.
Yeah,
and then
our
brothers learned from them how to continue that
mess.
Mm-hmm. Sister Betty, are you there?
I am.
Sister Betty, close us out in prayer, all right?
All praises. Ahaya Barashem Yashaya. Wawa Kadash. We thank you, Father, for given the power of your might.
Yes.
Help us to be strong, Father, in your power.
Yes.
Put on the whole armor, Father, so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for this hour and what's gone forth, hoping that it's touched somebody and reached somebody in their soul, because all the noise in our heads, we need the comfort within.
Yes.
Comfort us. To strengthen us.
Yes.
To help us to know and make up our mind.
Yes.
We will trust
although you slay us, we will trust in your word.
It is, Lord.
In your Shia's mighty name.
Amen.
You know, you threw that out there that we will, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
Yes.
I mean, if we could keep that in our hearts,
right,
nothing that happened to us will be too much. If
that's
we could
right.
keep that in our hearts, keep that in our heart, and I don't know that we can, but if we can try, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's you got to hand it to him. You got to hand it to him. He was on it.
Mm-hmm.
He was on it. And Father, we just asking you that you might have that kind of mercy for us, that we might rise to the occasion, that our hurting sisters might be able to say the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, guys, it's been wonderful. I don't know how we still on. Says we're not on the air, but crazy. Maybe it's not recording. I don't know what the situation is and don't care, but I'm grateful. So I'm so grateful. And Carol, give us the star love, okay?
I will, yeah. Carol. I will. Right. She's a wonderful sister.
That's a wonderful thing. All right, guys.
Okay, ladies.
All right.
Enjoy the week. Shalom.
Shalom, family.